The following audio is via a Skype call.
There comes a time in each man's life when he can't even believe his own eyes.
Happy Saturday, happy weekend, everybody. I'm Gary Manns.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Welcome to Manns and Mitchell Weekend Edition. We're delighted to have you with us, and it's time for us to say hello to our audio wizard, the man behind the board that keeps us on an even keel always, or damn near always, and that would be Michael Roberge. Mike, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just found out that the Grateful Dead is going to do a farewell tour this summer, July 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Chicago at Soldier Field. What do you think about that?
That sounds pretty good.
I think it sounds pretty good, but I wish Jerry Garcia could make it.
He might be there. You never know.
That's true. You know, they have so much...
He would be there in spirit.
I'm sure he would be there. And also, and you know about this, Mike, you've seen this, you can do duets with the Dead if you want to. Maybe he could fit into the whole group there with a big screen behind and just lending his efforts from years past in a way that would synthesize the whole performance.
Yeah, you're right. It certainly has happened before. And, you know, I think it might almost be a worth a trip to Chicago to catch one of those concerts, because chances are it probably really will be their last, unless they're eminently successful and extended a little bit. But these guys are getting, you know, fairly old now, and they're older than I am. So
yeah,
it may be the last time. This could be the last time. Oh wait, that's another group that keeps on touring.
Even so, Mike, you know, when people have kept up their skills, they can be great even when they're older. And I'm thinking about, you know, Gary and I seeing Tony Bennett in concert. He had a great voice. He put on a great concert.
His daughter did 2/3 of the songs.
Maybe 1/3.
No, I think it was more than 1/3.
And then we saw Paul McCartney.
He did the whole show.
And he did the whole show with a lot of energy. So
in his 70s and with more energy than I've got, I was just amazed.
You know, Gary and I run into people every once in a while that just amaze us for the fact that they've packed on the years, but they still have a young feel to them, a young energy. And so I wouldn't count those rings on the tree too fast.
No, well, not at all.
And, you know, there are some groups that just go on no matter what. I mean, Boston's down to about one guy, right?
Sure. And I think that the trick is to surround yourself with lots of young talent. And I saw the Moody Blues a couple of years ago out here at the Redmond at the park there, and 3 of the 4 original members were still there, all of which could still play, but they had people that could just rock the house, and they complemented each other really well. So when they did play, you know, the songs that you remember, they sounded just like they did, and they had just as much rock and roll as they ever did. I like those kinds of concerts where you have the originals and they're playing the original stuff, but they keep it close to what it was. And, you know, I'm not, for old groups, I'm not really interested in the new music. I shouldn't say I'm not really interested, but like most folks, I like to attend because that music rings true with me then and as it does now.
And we had that same experience in Chicago when we saw the group Chicago on Chicago's lakefront in August, where it wasn't all the original people, but there were a few originals and then a lot of newer ones. Exactly what you're saying, but they learned the music and they sounded good.
Yeah, and I would love to see Chicago. Big Chicago fan.
Oh, it was great. And they brought people on. It started with a full concert. If you can imagine, you think, okay, the opening act are going to do a handful of songs, and then here comes the big star act to close the show. REO Speedwagon did their full concert. Well, it's just like, it was like the whole concert in and of itself. It was a concert. And when they're done, they stayed behind and played in various songs of Chicago, including their frontman, whose name I forget. But anyway, there they were, REO Speedwagon, then here comes Chicago, then joined by REO Speedwagon. It was about, I'm going to say, 3.5 hours.
It was really long. And there was 3 complete concerts, 1 REO Speedwagon, 1 with Chicago, and 1 with the two of them. It was just amazing.
Wow. Wow. That's all I can say is wow. You know, a lot of that stuff is committed to muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know, they've been doing those songs for so long that they just know it. They're part of it. It's part of their DNA.
Yep.
Also, going back to the Moody Blues, I will never forget the Simpsons episode in which Homer goes to Las Vegas with his neighbor, Ned Flanders. That pair in Las Vegas.
You're making me laugh already.
And they're driving down the strip. And what do they see but a big marquee billboard advertising Knights in White Satin, a tribute to the Moody Blues, opening act, the Moody Blues. So longevity is something that rock acts try for, each in their own way. There's that trajectory of a career. And I can remember listening to an interview with John Lennon. It was on the old Dick Cavett show, and he said he didn't want to be 50 years old and still singing, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, he just couldn't see himself doing that. Well, look at Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr today. They're touring, they're playing all that music, and they do it in a way that has a sort of montage or a pastiche effect so that their entire career is reflected as individuals, and of course harkening back to the Beatles and their most famous tunes, and it just weaves together seamlessly. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the Rolling Stones, who are really old and are still touring, and they all, I mean, they're old obviously, but they look good and they can play it just like they always have, and they fill the house. It's amazing.
Are they, when they take the stage, do they have those IV bags on stands that they can take up to the microphone?
Keith Richards has a wheelchair standing by in an oxygen mask, just in case.
I'm sure. Well, I've long said that he won't even need to be embalmed.
He's a testament to, anything is possible because he has seen it all and been through it all. Pretty amazing, actually.
Yes, I never did see the Rolling Stones in concert. I've heard some of the stories, and of course, most everyone who's a rock fan knows about the tragedy at Altamont. That was Mick Jagger asked if somebody was being stabbed to death by the Hell's Angels, who were hired to bring security. They were the security guys, and someone was being killed. There, all this was going on, and Mick didn't know that exactly was happening, but this was in process, and he just said, people, who are we fighting what for? He tried to get everyone back to center point and to realize why they were there, to celebrate rock and roll and love and the excitement of the moment, not to fight. So you never know with them all these years later. One doesn't expect that from Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. But as you point out, Mike, they're still touring, and it's just extraordinary. I can't even imagine I lost track of how many albums they put out.
So many, so many.
Well, we were going to talk today to a lady named Mickey Jacobs. Do we have her on the phone?
We don't, but I will.
What is that about?
I will turn my mic off and see if I can't get her on. How about that?
Well, okay. Why don't we go ahead and do that? We'll just cover. We'll stall.
There you go.
While you do that. Yeah. And thank you for that, Mike. Mickey Jacobs, of course, being an internationally recognized spiritual teacher, psychic, and medium.
Well, we talked to her earlier, so we...
And when we say earlier, we mean, what, 45 minutes ago?
Right, earlier today, an hour ago. So why don't I go ahead and give her mad props, and then we will send a mental telepathic message.
Sure, that'll work.
We're looking for her. Mickey Jacobs is an internationally renowned medium and spiritual teacher. Mickey teaches people to communicate with their team in spirit and view life from their soul's perspective. She also connects people with their departed loved ones. Mickey and her husband rescue horses and other critters on their ranch in California. For more information, Mickey's website, which we will be sure to give out before the end of the hour once again, is mickeyjacobs.com, and Mickey is spelled MIKIJacobs.com.
And she's available on Facebook as well. I had neglected to ask Mickey for her Facebook friendship, but I did. And I haven't heard back from her. So I don't know. She might be out feeding her critters. She's a big animal lover. She takes in horses and dogs. She's got a veritable ranch out there. Seems like she lives in the desert. If you watch her videos, and they are numerous, I mean by the dozens, on YouTube, you see that she's out on ranch property that she and her husband own, and they take in these distressed animals, orphan animals. It's one of her big loves in life, and she has a very mature career going as a medium and a teacher of spiritual alignment. I don't know that she teaches mediumship per se, but she definitely teaches about being connected to your spiritual team, and that thinking optimistically, that is our main topic this hour, to talk about who is over there on the other side, who's looking out for us, who loves you, baby, and who is it that we are really praying to. Most of us have some kind of prayer and meditation practice. It varies around the world and varies with the individual. But who is it that we're really talking to? Are we just talking to ourselves, our higher selves, or are there entities, beings on the other side who are capable of fulfilling our wishes and our desires and maybe helping us move on to the path of tolerance and forgiveness if we need to do that work? And that would include me and a whole bunch of other people I know. So at this rate, we're going to, I think what we need to do is to call Mickey. We made promises. I actually put this out on Facebook and Twitter. So
yeah, guys, and just a quick update here. Trying to get her on the phone, but her phone is busy. Busy, busy, busy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe she's trying to get you.
Well, if she is, the phones aren't ringing up. So not really sure how to proceed here. Other than that, I'll just keep trying to get hold of her. And perhaps maybe if she's listening, that she could give me a call. That would be handy.
Oh, absolutely. So, yes, I think what we need to do is to go ahead and take that break. And then during that time, we can go ahead and frantically try to bring Mickey up, because I hate to let down listeners when they're anticipating an interview subject. And so we're going to do our best to bring her on with us, Mickey Jacobs. Okay, you go ahead and do that, Mike. Why don't we listen to some commercials and promos in the meantime, and then some lovely music to bring us back in another 2 or 3 minutes. Hang in there. We'll do our best. We are Manson Mitchell, after all, and you're listening to AM 1150, Seattle's home of alternative talk.
Are you passionate about living a healthy and more balanced lifestyle? If so, Seattle Natural Awakenings magazine was created for you. Seattle Natural Awakenings is a free monthly publication full of information on fitness for the whole body, mind, and spirit. And it is your go-to magazine for local events, classes, and retreats. You can find Seattle Awakenings at health food stores, educational centers, libraries, and wherever free publications are generally seen. Or get the latest issue online at seattleawakenings.com. If you are the owner of a green, healthy, and socially responsible business, we invite you to promote your natural, holistic product or services with Seattle Natural Awakenings. We reach over 40,000 readers interested in healthy living in the greater Seattle area. Call 425-350-5448 for more information.
He stayed focused. He stayed committed. He took chances. He lived daringly, and while he died at a young age, he lived a long life in terms of service and witness. He piled into those 39 years, 100 years or more of service and loving and caring.
He is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He inspired us in words.
Everybody can be great.
But he led us in deeds.
Because everybody can serve.
To honor him, let's do the same. Go to mlkday.gov and find out how to volunteer on Martin Luther King Day and beyond. That's mlkday.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
We live in a world that's become predictable.
Our realities are filled with distractions, hopelessness, and confusion. We've begun to lose touch of what we're truly capable of. It's time for us to regain our true potential. Join psychic medium and crystal child Lindsay Paul as she connects to the other side and brings back messages from beyond, along with her psychic and skeptic Abraham DeWeese and indigo child Sarah Ellis. They'll help you soar to new heights by answering your questions. Don't miss Wisdom Within Radio, Thursdays at 1 p.m.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
The book is called Soul Secrets, a spiritual guidebook for contacting your team, spirit guides, angels, and departed loved ones. the internationally renowned teacher and author of The Above, of Soul Secrets. Mickey Jacobs joins us. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. Glad you made it to the phone this time. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it. I'm well. Thank you.
I want to start off, Mickey, by asking you, what is this team of whom you speak? I mean, you mentioned spirit guides, angels, and departed loved ones. That's a whole bunch of information and the implications of all that to try and wrap our minds around. Why don't you get us started by explaining the concept of a spiritual team?
Sure. You know, over the years, Gary, when I continue to channel spirits and then walk with people on one-on-one and group and such, I realized that in the same way that I had accompanied by two spirit guide, guardian angel, a specific archangel, and sometimes a family member from spirits, everyone have the same team, which is quite a lovely concept. So when I walk with people, they come across with the same group of spirits that accompany them. And the lovely concept about it, that each member of the team help us in different aspects of life. So we kind of very, very lovely cover when it's come to support and guidance and protection. But we all have that group of spirits, and the word team, I kind of came up with it over the years because it's kind of sum up the group of spirit that we each have, and that's how I start teaching about that concept.
And so with all of these beings, I hesitate to say people, though they were people, but these these souls, these beings, this is the part where it gets complicated for me. Though I have to say, Mickey, you do a wonderful job of trying to spell it out in detail in your book, Soul Secrets. But when we talk about the people on our team, the first question that comes to mind, other than who are these beings, is how many of whom are with us? And does it vary with the individual versus being a set allotment of guides for everyone? I mean, maybe some people need more than others.
That is correct. Some people do need more than others. So the type of beings or spirits that we all have are the same. We all have spirit guide, which is essentially a word for a teacher. We all have guardian angel for protection, among other things, archangels that help us with emotions. And once again, sometimes a departed loved ones, which there's very specific reason as to why a departed loved one will join our permanent team and not leave until we ourselves go home and cross over. So the type of team of members are the same, but the amount varies. If we happen to plan an incarnation that it's a bit more risky, whether it is with our soul path or the personality in a nutshell, meaning the soul choose a part personality that prone to weaknesses or reckless behavior, that we will often enter two guardian angels for an additional protection. It's important also to know that over the years, in addition to our permanent team, those few beings that never leave us throughout the life, we have other in and out angels and archangels that come as needed, if you will, if we go through various, you know, difficulties or grief or loss or illness. So at any point of time, we always have a lot of spirits that accompany us. And that is mainly the message to tell people. We sometimes think we're alone, but we really are quite guided and quite loved.
Mickey, would you agree that our spirit guides, especially the ones that are the closest to us, that stay with us throughout our lives, were planned before we incarnated into this lifetime?
Very much so, Suzanne. Our spirit guide, which we each have our own, the primary spirit guide, because there's also, you know, secondary ones, they indeed are with us for a lot of lifetimes. So, yes, they plan the incarnation with us. They know what we're supposed to achieve each lifetime. They know where we're supposed to be at each point in the life, if you will, so they know where to help us, where to inspire us to the path in which we're supposed to continue. So our spirit guides are indeed a plan, of course, before we enter a body to experience life in a new incarnation, and are very, very influential on our lives.
When we create this plan and we say we want to experience certain things in this lifetime, we decide that in this incarnation, we either want to experience great wealth, great poverty, we want to experience being high up in a career or have no career at all, you know, whatever it is that we're here to experience, how much influence, how much interference does our spirit team have when we've set a plan to experience certain things? Are they directing things from behind the scenes in order that we have these experiences, or do we still have a lot of free will?
You know, they have a great influential on our life, but they bound by a lot of laws, Suzanne, if you will, or limits because of free will. Free will is the way we grow, meaning, you know, it's up to us. The bottom line, the decision, the action are up to us to make. But there are a lot of ways in which they help behind the scene. It's funny you use that phrase because I often refer to that. They inspire us. They open door for us. They, you know, try to prevent us from doing stupid things. Obviously, it's up to us to grow spiritually, which I know it's a big word, grow spiritual, meaning perhaps be open more to concept of spirits in general, the spirit world, and in the team in specific. So we'll be able to listen to our gut feeling, intuition, nagging feelings, which of course those are systems in which they talk to us, as well as be aware of doors that open up, as well as be aware of anything that is kind of very clear as to what direction to take. So yes, they are influential. They're always busy, always try to help us. But the bottom line is really up to us. And because planet Earth is harsh at the moment, the ego, the negative part of the mind lead the way in a lot of ways. So people are oblivious to the guidance or to the help of spirits. And if we do nothing, they do nothing. There is nothing they can do if we made our mind to follow a certain path, even if they know it leads us to no good. There is nothing they can do. Often spirits use the phrase, our hands are tied, and they simply try to support us and protect us to the path that we take. But the consequences will be for us to pay, and we will grow either way. So the soul is here to go through good or bad, if you will. But if to answer your question, yes, they do help. There is a lot of help, but there are limits as to how much they do.
So then it's fair to say, Mickey, that our angels, our spirit guides, and even our departed loved ones, to the extent they can, will help, they will influence, but they never intrude.
They never intrude, Gary. They do not. It's a universal law that they do not allow to do that. Often guardian angel will force to back off if a person decide to drink or drive, if a person to decide to do drug, and they often foreseen a disaster that's ready to happen, and they will desperately try to inspire us and to try to avoid the action, but there is nothing they can do. We're not machines. We do what we want. And the big part of growth of planet Earth as to why such an effective school is because we're not machines. We do what we want. And if we learn through the difficult, the long way, meaning through negativity or reckless or stupidity, the soul will still grow. So to us, you know, I come across a lot of clients or people, they say, you talk about those great guardian angel. Where was my guardian angel when my son had a car accident and died? And I have to explain that there was warning. We just need to listen. Once we tune into them, once we are aware of them, open to their existence, they are absolutely constantly showing us the next step. It's just for us to do, and then for us to realize, to recognize rather, and follow up on their guidance. Otherwise, we are on our own.
I think a lot of people have had an experience, especially in a car, where they will suddenly avoid an accident, and they'll say to themselves, oh, my guardian angel must have been with me because I avoided having a terrible accident. But it's interesting to me that you also say that that may be part of their plan. They may have set out a plan to say that I am going to only be on the earth a short time, and then I am going to leave very dramatically. And so they may not know that how they're leaving is in a car accident, but that may have been pre-planned. So not everyone signs up for a long life. Is that right?
No, of course not. Which once again is to why our soul, not Suzanne, not Gary or Mickey, which can, you know, rightfully so, find this planet so harsh and difficult. Our souls loves it here. I mean, we can't wait to reincarnate onto this planet. There are plenty of other pleasant planets that we can go and continue to grow energetically, friendly planets. But it's such a great school to our soul because of the complexity of the mind and the ego and the physical body and loss and grief and gain. So the soul loves it here. So a soul would absolutely plan an exit of planet Earth, whatever it is, contribute to its growth, whether it is pay karma, meaning it's need to balance negative energy that the personality accumulate in previous or current life. So I channel plenty of spirits, Suzanne, that the soul come across, you know, come through in a reading and, you know, casually and neutrally bringing up the fact that I crossed over when I was 7 years old. Because for a lot of reasons, whether the soul accomplish in that short life, what it is it's needed to learn and grow, whether it is accomplished to help others to grow, balance karma. A lot of souls come across in reading. They have no interest on staying in planet Earth more than 50, 60 years. So there is a lot of reason, spiritual reason, as to why up in the surface, meaning to us, it's look why some people live till 90 and some people go at 7 years old. So it's all up to the soul. The soul planned the incarnation, when to enter and when to exit.
I want to tell a story in a little bit, and maybe on the other side of a break here, Mickey. So leading up to it, to provide context, and this is important because a nice size portion of Soul Secrets, your book, discusses the ways in which our team, and again, we mean spirit guides, angels, and departed loved ones, the ways in which they try to reach us. If there's a message we need, if there is some direction, maybe we're actively seeking their help, but whatever, there are various ways they try to reach us. Why don't we go ahead and take a little survey of those means by which the team, the spiritual team, can try to help us, and then I have a story at the end of this that illustrates perfectly what you're talking about. As we were reading through the material, I got really excited. I said to Suzanne, oh, I've got to share this one with Mickey. It's like right out of her book. But what are the ways and means of the spirit team?
You mean how they communicate with us, Gary?
Exactly.
Okay. Spirit guides, first, really briefly, spirit guides are human souls. As opposed to angels, they're just other light beings, of course, that they created for, you know, just different beings. So because the spirit guide are human soul, they lived on planet Earth for hundreds of thousands of lifetimes. They accumulate enough wisdom and spiritual power where they do not need to use planet Earth in order to grow. They stay in the spirit world and become teachers. So they use planet Earth as to come bring their messages across. Commercials, TVs, songs, other people that we just happen to hear. You know how many people I hear that go to the store and happen to hear a conversation of other people that speak and they take that advice to them. So they would use planet Earth, our day-to-day life, to get their messages across. Angels are a little bit different. Their messages are similar to the spirit guide, but they mostly use songs. A lot of time that you need to kind of pay attention to the lyric for songs that stuck in your head. They very much enjoy to connect to us through nature. In general, angels are very much attracted to people that enjoy nature. So a butterfly and hummingbird and everything that has to do with nature, and again, their major messages, of course, that we hear. Departed loved ones often tend to give us smells that perhaps remind us of them, usually grandfather or, you know, the cigar or cigarettes, or aunts or mother, perfume and certain soap, pennies. Those are signs that pennies or coins is a sign that's very much used by our departed loved ones. So, again, it's up to us to be open, to not allow the ego to say, it's just a coincidence, it's just luck, I'm imagining it. So it's up to us to connect sign to our team. And how do you do that? You ask, who gave it to me? And they'll tell you through your intuition, through your inner voice, this is me, this is your guardian angel, this is your spirit guide, and it's up to us to trust it and look for the signs. They're not here, we're here. They provide the signs. We need to look for them. And the more we look, the more we give, because they get excited, because the channel is kind of strengthening it. The communication gets a little bit more clear. So again, they provide the signs, and it's up to us to recognize it and interpret it.
I can tell you, and I have a slew of these stories. This isn't the one I was referring to a few moments ago, but I'll mention this. I remember being at a church in Seattle. Actually, I was in the parking lot of that church after service, and I was of two minds about a particular issue and person. And I didn't know what I was going to say or do. I was in a state. And so here I was worrying myself into a frazzle over my relationship with this individual. And I go toward my car and I look down on the ground. And what do you think I spotted there, Mickey? I found two quarters, one heads up and one tails. So I'm going, yeah, I'm of two minds. I get it. Now, what do I do about it? But there seemed to be this correspondence of my state of mind and something that allegorically or literally, perhaps in the case of the quarters, represented a fairly sizable issue, as coins go. But one side tails, one side heads, and the idea maybe being communicated to me was you have to choose.
And we are here. That's the thing, Gary, is that a lot of people think too much, which is, of course, a great weakness of us being human beings. And the mind think, and they tell themselves, well, that's not enough. That can confuse me even more. No, it's not. Because you knew that they're telling you you're supposed to decide, which they did. But another thing is, just referring to your example, it was there. They're telling you, we're by your side. We are aware that you're debating it. So most of their sign is to tell us we're there. When you see a hummingbird and you truly and authentically believe that your archangel near you provide a hummingbird or manipulate the hummingbird near you, they might be not a rocket science complex message, but they're there. And then when you start getting those signs, then it's a fantastic feeling. So again, what go against a lot of human beings is they think too much. And usually those human beings, I can bring them Archangel Michael to go to lunch with them, and that's still not going to be enough. So the point is that you need to kind of, first and foremost, feel grateful to a sign. Tell your team, thank you. Know that they're there. That's a main big thing. And then, like you did, you knew immediately. They tell you to decide. Of course they tell you to decide. So a lot of time, you just enjoy the sign, hold gratefulness, and ask your team, what is it about? What's their preference? And listen to your inner voice, to your intuition.
The last time that there was money involved when I was with Gary, he was shopping for a car in Everett, Washington, and he was looking at several cars and had narrowed down his choices to two or three that he really thought he would be happy with any one of those cars. And as we were walking in the lot, I pointed at the ground to where there was a quarter in front of one of the cars. And Gary picked up the quarter, and that was the car that he bought.
Oh.
And I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah, that's my point, Suzanne. They're also spirits in a way that they don't have ego, they don't think, they're not heavy energetically like we are. They're fun. And they're fantastic, and they have their love. So a lot of signs are fun. They're playful. Don't think too much. Enjoy it. Believe that what you know intuitively to be, that what is. Of course the quarter was in the right car because that was the preference of your spirit guide. So have fun with sign. In general, I tell people, spirituality have great simplicity as opposed to perhaps some of religion aspect that's a little bit more heavy and rigid. You just have fun with it. The more fun you have, the more you invoke light being or angels or other ascended master, because that's what they're attracted to. Have fun with sign. Know they exist. Listen to what they mean. Hold gratefulness and be aware of more signs.
Be aware of more signs. Okay, since we're on this track, this is really fun to talk about, Nikki. What are other ways that they try to reach us? Is it the sudden inspiration? Can you taste something? Can you smell something? Is there a way of being touched in order to receive a message?
Yes. The more, again, that's why everything is connected in spiritual growth, if you will, Gary, because that's why a lot of people ask me, Mickey, can you do a shortcut and just teach me how to listen to them? Well, you got to work on your old day. You got to watch for your body. You got to watch for your drama and the ego. You need to open the channel, keep it clear. And the more spiritual you are, yes, it took me years, but eventually I had gained the ability to see spirit, to smell, to taste signs, but it's a lot of hard work, Gary. It doesn't come easy for us on planet Earth because of the heavy mind that we all have and an ego, if you will, that is a byproduct of who we are. You know, real quick, my story, how they often talk to me, you know, it's really fun. Because of my English, I often watch television with closed caption. I laugh because my husband always makes fun of it. So they actually, when I debate something or when I think about something, I happen to kind of glance at the television and see just the right sentence that has to do with what I ask or a message from them. Often they say, I love you and we are here. And it's not a movie that I follow up. I just happen to stare at the TV. It can be a commercial or anything. And then the closed caption have just the right message. So just to show you, they are also very aware of us in a way that how spiritually aware we are, how open we are. So the more they know that they'll be able to come across, the more with messages, with signs, the more creative they become, which why the main message when it's come to sign, I tell people, don't doubt, have fun with it, look at it, ask for more signs, and you will find more and more fun, fantastic signs when you drive, when you're home, when you have decision to make. It's specifically cars, as you know, reading the book that I write that spirit guide often like to tell us their preference of car that we're going to buy, the make, the model, their color. You're going to see that make and model everywhere you go until you had no choice other to buy that car just so they'll stop.
So I've experienced that too.
Pardon, Gary?
I've experienced that myself.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and take a break. I want to tell you a story, Mickey, and I may have mentioned this once before on the show a long time ago, and it bears repeating. And for this, we must travel to Hawaii. So it's actually an explanation of how I got into all this, and it's part of the reason why we do the kind of show that we do and get to talk to Mickey Jacobs, author of Soul Secrets, a spiritual guidebook for contacting your team, spirit guides, angels, and departed loved ones. Mickey Jacobs is our guest this hour. Happy to talk to her. She's on the phone from California, where she tends to her critters. She's a big lover of life, lover of animals, lover of spirit. She has a well-rounded life going, and she shares some of it with us today. We're happy about that. Give us a couple of minutes. More Manson Mitchell on the way right here on AM 1150 KKNW.
Preceding audio was via a Skype call.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to BioClean, the people who clean up the mess, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 18th, it's Vet Sunday with Animal World's favorite vet, Dr. Bill Burlingame, in the studio. He's the most balanced and knowledgeable vet I know, and we'll have open phone lines throughout the show so you can call in and get his opinion or advice for free. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Russell Wilson.
And I'm Rich Sherman. We don't always have control over when we get sick or when an accident strikes.
Today, too many Washingtonians are living without health insurance, which is a risk not worth taking, especially with the options available on the Washington Health Benefit Exchange.
Take it from me, when your health or the game is on the line, nothing is more important than quality coverage.
So make the right call for yourself and your family. Visit wahealthplanfinder.org and get covered today.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Sign up for early notice about future shows on a spam-free listserv. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/manceandmitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We bring a unique talk radio blend your way every Friday and Saturday on 1150 KKNW.
From pop culture to the paranormal, you get variety in a conversational style.
Whether it's UFOs or ESP, angels or the afterlife, Bigfoot or your big dreams, everything is fair game on our show.
Join the A-Team of Alternative Talk Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on the station that leads the pack without following the herd. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our interview with Mickey Jacobs, author of Soul Secrets and a star of the internet. I want to take this opportunity before I launch into my Hawaiian escapade. I hope, Mickey, that you will tell people, and with YouTube in mind, which is hugely valuable, please tell people how they can get in touch with you.
And through my website, which is mickeyjacobs.com, MIKIJACOBS. And usually I put all the upcoming events and book signs and a lot of other good stuff.
Are you ever going to make it back to Seattle?
I think so, Gary. Yeah, I think so. This year I'm trying to kind of go all over, including my native country of Israel. So I'm trying to kind of take the team with me to a lot of places.
I want to ask you, just because I've got a little time before I tell this story and then get your reaction to it. I'm curious because I've known many people who lived in Israel, but I never really got into this particular subject, and that is the emotional commitment, maybe the emotional impact, Mickey, of what it means to spend 3 years of your life in mandatory military service because you've got a very tiny homeland that constantly needs to be vigilantly protected. How was that for you? Did you mind going through that time in your life?
You see, my view of it, it's different than yours, Gary, because for you, it's like, oh, my God, you know, you're being forced to go. At us, we know that all our lives from the age of, what, 6, 7, when we, you know, realize what's going on. So very much proud of going to the Israel, very much waiting to go to the Israel, to the army, I should say. So, no, it's something that most people look very much forward to it, and it's something that we're very much proud to do. I was kind of a little bit different than what usually girls do, usually for the most part, that may be a little bit more secretarial work on office. And I was kind of in the front line, if you will, and I was a shooting instructor. So I was a little bit more tougher than most girls. But, you know, I love my little country. And although U.S. is my country now, of course, where my family is, but... So you're very much proud of it, but a lot of my views where I was back then is completely different to a lot of my view that now, being a spiritual teacher. To answer your question is we are waiting to go to the army and very much looking forward to it for the most part.
Thank you, Mickey. I had never heard that explained before, so I thought I should ask. I want to tell you a story now about me going to Hawaii. Actually, in the early 90s, I went to Hawaii 4 years in a row, really fell in love with the place. And that's why, oddly enough, in Seattle, as soon as it was sunny and warm enough, I would be seen wearing these Aloha shirts all the time, which Suzanne always reminded me had nothing to do with Seattle culture. Maybe she thought I should dress like a lumberjack or something, but there I was wearing this Hawaiian clothing. Well, that happened for me. I assimilated the Aloha spirit, I think, when I was over there those years. And we would stay 7 or 8 days at a time. This was in a relationship other than the one that I currently enjoy with Suzanne. But there we were in Hawaii. And the second year we went, I decided that I would go to Hanauma Bay. And people who have been to Hawaii and spent time on Oahu know about Hanauma Bay. It is liquid paradise. Oh. And under there, I was snorkeling. It was my first opportunity to snorkel. And so I went for it. I rented the equipment, and there I was looking at this incredible beauty underwater. And I got to the point where I took off the flippers because it impeded my movement. And that can be a little risky because they have fire coral over there. You have to be careful where you're stepping naturally. And so I was pretty vigilant about that. But there I was enjoying a fantastic time. I mean, it was 100% bliss to be there underwater, seeing these fish. They're just a riot of color under the gentle waves there of Hanauma Bay. Fantastic time. So the next year, of course, I decide that I'm going to go back there again because I want to do this again. This is just wonderful. I can't wait. And I can still remember like it was yesterday, Mickey. I got into our rented convertible, throwing the top down, having a great time driving from our hotel in Waikiki to Hanauma Bay, several miles away. And here is where the story begins. With increasing urgency, traveling these several miles through the streets and then on the highway to get to the clifftop parking lot of Hanauma Bay, where you park and then walk down for several minutes, as I was driving and then parking and then walking and saying nothing whatsoever to my partner, I felt this growing sense of danger, of foreboding. And I wondered about this. I can't associate anything negative with the trip at that point that I'd had just the year before, and it was so wonderful. So why am I feeling so bad now? And before I even got out of the car, and you mentioned this in your book, which is what triggered the memory for me, Mickey, I felt I'm not crazy. I mean, I have a skeptical side, believe me. But while I was still driving, I felt fingers touch my left shoulder, and it tingled. You know how your skin will almost crawl because if you suddenly feel this tingle, and it's like, ooh, what's that? And I actually, with some embarrassment, I actually turned away from my partner so that I was facing into the wind, and I went, what? Like I'm talking to somebody. What's going on here? And so we parked the car. We made the trek down to the beach and laid our blankets down there, yada, yada. And I did something uncharacteristic at that moment. I actually said a prayer, and I ended it with, God, I'm just going in here for a few minutes to have a good time, to enjoy some snorkeling. I let go and I let God as I go into the water today. I had absolutely no stimulus other than this weird feeling I had, because my only memory of Hanama Bay was beautiful, loved it. And yet here I am, scared to go into the water. So I let go and let God, and I went into the water. I was there maybe 5 minutes when police came roaring down the hill and a paramedics truck, and the cop got out and he started shouting through a bullhorn, "Everybody get out of the water now. Attention, get out of the water now, people. You must exit now." It turned out that a huge wave of jellyfish had swam in from the big island of Hawaii into Hanauma Bay, and there they were, and they were transparent. You couldn't just look down and see them.
Sure.
They were there. I was there in the water. Two people were stung badly. One poor gentleman had 6 stings running down his back, and the paramedics came for him. And so I stood up. I didn't even look down at the water. I just looked at my partner and the beach and where she was on the towel and made that my fixed point. And I walked straight out of the water unharmed. Now, that is why, if you take a long rope connecting that to where we are right now, this moment, that's why Suzanne and I do this show today. That was my introduction to metaphysical living, to taking the metaphysical point of view. I asked myself, how could I have such a great time, nothing but great memories, and then have this foreboding, and then have the reason for the foreboding, the sense of urgency and danger, reveal itself to me? It was so utterly eerie that I thought, there's just more to life than the conscious mind and the logical side of our brain can see.
How lovely, Gary. And obviously, I'm so honored that you share with me the story that switched you over to spirituality. Did you think it was God when that happened? Because you were not familiar with guardian angel per se, is that right?
Well, I knew the concept of guardian angels. I was raised Catholic, so I mean, that was something that I knew about but didn't necessarily believe. I thought that was mainly folklore. But what I felt was, someone is looking out for me, because when I felt that touch on my shoulder, it's like somebody was really trying to get my attention. But then I had this weird question afterward, and as we drove back to the hotel, I couldn't help but entertain it with my partner, which was, how did I get saved from this excruciating experience, but two other people, especially the guy that was hauled away by the paramedics, and he did okay once they got him to the hospital, I later read in the paper.
Yeah.
He had 6 stings down his back. Very dangerous. Why was I spared while he was stung badly?
Well, let me reassure you, it's not because your guardian angel loves you more and loves him less, or yours is more powerful. It's all matter of 2 things. You listen, you were aware of it, and act on it. I mean, you did got into the water, but you were aware. Prayer, you know that prayer you did. Prayers are very powerful, Gary, very powerful. It doesn't matter what you say. Obviously, people with all religion, and me, spiritual, just pray. What prayer does is kind of clear up the channel to spirit. It's align you more. It's kind of strengthen the energy. So I always tell people, always pray daily. And what you did, you were aware, you were open, you prayed, and the other person didn't, because there is no one help and not the other, unless his soul meant to experience that. Because not only big event we're supposed to experience for the sake of growth, our soul would use minute by minute experiences and events and people for the sake of growth. I know it's a lot of times difficult for people to understand, specifically if they're the one that got stung by the jellyfish. Nonetheless, that's what it is. So you happen to be aware and to open. You were not meant to experience anything like that. And look what's happened. It's such a fantastic, beautiful story, truly, Gary.
It set me on a new path, and that is no exaggeration. Mickey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Mickey, there's so many more questions that we had. We read your book cover to cover, and we only covered part of what it is that we wanted to talk with you about. So we hope you will come back and talk more about guardian angels and archangels and elementals and spirit guides and all of the people that are, not people, but all of the entities on your team. Tell us you will come back and do that.
Oh, Suzanne, you and Gary are just such a lovely host, super, super kind, and really well-loved by a lot of spirits, and it's always an honor for me to be there. As for the part of the teaching, that's what I do, that's why I wrote the book. Perhaps we can leave some time for people to call in for questions regarding their own team or team in general, but all you need to do is just shoot me an email and I'll find the time.
Why, thank you. Bless you, Mickey, and you're on the record, so we'll have you back for sure. Once again, Mickey Jacobs is the author of Soul Secrets, a spiritual guidebook for contacting your team, spirit guides, angels, and departed loved ones. We've got one more hour to go, and this is going to be in the form of a glorious rerun.
Yes, we have a last-minute change in our lineup. Our scheduled guest, Rich Dolan, is going to be coming on with us in March. And this morning, we are going to replay a wonderful hour that we had with Chris Atwood in November. So stay tuned for the second hour of Manson Mitchell, a best of, if you will. And we will see you next week.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.